We think, you know, what do I have to say? Who's going to want to hear from me? But that is really so important in terms of increasing your profile and your business brand. Like, you want to let people inside as much as you can.
Welcome to Elevate and Expand, a podcast where entrepreneurs just like you can find the community, guidance, and accountability needed to grow your business without working around the clock. As an entrepreneur, you're responsible for pretty much everything. But that does not mean you have to figure out everything on your own. In each episode, you'll discover practical frameworks and shortcuts that will eliminate confusion and boost your revenue. You'll also be motivated and inspired by hearing stories from other entrepreneurs who are on the same journey as you. I'm your host, Terry Rice, biz dev consultant and staff writer at Entrepreneur Magazine. Let's jump into today's episode. Hey, before we dive in, I'm going to answer a question from the audience. This one comes from Carmen Crawley. And her question is, how can a volunteer nonprofit organization transition into an employer? Hey, Carmen, honestly, I don't know the answer to that question. So you'd have to do some research just because it's going to depend a lot on where you live and what type of nonprofit you are. So I'm going to take a different angle here and ask why. Now, why do you want to make this change? And what are you giving up if you do that? Right? Because as a nonprofit, you get access to grants as well as tax exemptions, right? But if you're a for-profit company, you may have less regulations needed to stay compliant. So I'd weigh the pros and the cons here based on the associated opportunities and your overall mission. And then beyond that, I would reach out to a local chamber of commerce so you can get specific information based on where you live. Elizabeth Lewis is a branding expert and certified personal stylist. She helps professionals, creatives, and business owners to achieve their vision of success. After spending nearly a decade in corporate brand management and marketing roles at companies including Colgate-Palmolive and Penguin Random House, she founded Brand Style and Bloom by Elizabeth Danielle. Elizabeth, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Terry?
I'm good. I'm glad we're chatting because when I first started my company, branding was a big problem on my end. And to go deeper, I wanted my company to seem larger than it was. And back then I was a digital marketing expert. So instead of saying like Terry Rice Marketing, I called it Brooklyn Digital Marketing. So some like, you know, generic term that made it seem like I had a larger company. But what I realized is that it was actually hurting me, because people didn't know the person behind the brand. So I wasn't getting media opportunities. I wasn't speaking on stages and there wasn't a very deep connection. Plus I always had to like almost lie and say, we do this, we do that, when really it's just me. So I'm glad today we're talking about like the power of having a brand. But before we hop into that, I do want you to go ahead and introduce yourself.
Absolutely. So I'm Elizabeth Lewis Edmond and I got married last year. And I have a business that's called Brand Style and Bloom. It's a personal branding and styling consultancy. And our whole mission is to help professionals get noticed to achieve their personal vision of success using branding and personal styling as tools. So we do that through workshops. We've worked with a lot of different companies. We've worked with Disney. So happy to be partnered with Verizon through the Verizon Small Business Digital Ready program and several other companies. We do one-on-one work and then also just launched a knitwear line last fall. So super excited to be here.
Yeah, you got a lot going on. So appreciate you being here as well.
There's a lot.
And I know we'll be talking about personal branding, but can we just start by establishing the difference between like a brand for a company and a personal brand for an individual?
Yeah, definitely. So a brand for your company is what is kind of the larger mission of what your brand stands for? How is your brand differentiated in the market? What exactly, you know, does your brand stand for? And it's also important to think about that from the standpoint of what do consumers say that your brand stands for? So that is kind of the crux of what a business brand is. It's creating that unique personality for your business that hopefully aligns with what your business stands for also in the minds of your customers. In terms of a personal brand, that's really more about you personally. So of course, it links to the business. You know, that's extremely important. You don't want a misalignment there. but it goes larger into not only why you started your business, but what's your personal mission for why you do what you do? What is the difference that you want to make in the world? How are you building that kind of know, like, and trust factor with people who come into contact with you on an everyday basis? And that can help to augment the business brand that you've created.
All right. So I'm going to ask you a question, which is going to be very leading, but here goes. For early stage entrepreneurs, do you think building a personal brand is more important than building a brand for your company?
I mean, to be honest with you, I think they're both really important. I think building a brand for your company is crucial because you want to understand why a customer would choose to come to your business to fill their needs versus other people. It's very hard to create something that's totally, totally unique. Mm-hmm. So what is it about your company? What's the personality that you've added? What is unique about your business? So you do want to figure that out because that's important. But your personal brand is also really important because that also lends to what is the story behind why you create the business? What is the inspiration? Who are you as a person? Why are people connecting to you? Because typically, we connect to people more than we do companies. Mm-hmm. I think as small businesses, a lot of the time when we launch, we maybe have a business brand, and then we also rely on the personal brand as well to help to strengthen that, because often it's just us who's doing the brand. So that gets to be important. But I think, honestly, they're both pretty important and can work together in tandem.
That was a very diplomatic response. In my opinion, inexperience, and let me know if I'm correct in this. I mean, it feels like if your goal is to grow the company, then you definitely have to have a brand for the company, right? It can't just be like, you know, right, Terry Rice Show, or else you're kind of stuck. So right, Almost thinking about even like the name of your company, right? Should it be branded as you or branded as a different organization? I think it makes sense to think, okay, well, where do I see this going in the future? And right, that makes it a bit easier to move forward. And I want to get into some best practices for personal branding momentarily, but people hear about this all the time. You got to build your brand. You got to build your brand, so on and so forth. What are some common mistakes or myths surrounding building a personal brand that you've heard of and that you can refute today?
Totally. So I think one of the common mistakes is linking your personal brand completely to your business brand, not creating a separation. And I think sometimes we do that because we're afraid to bring in our own stories. Yeah. So I think a strong personal brand is really digging into that deep why, like your deep motivations, like showing yourself. And we're afraid to do that a lot of the time when we start a business because we have like imposter syndrome. We think, you know, what do I have to say? Who's going to want to hear from me? But that is really so important in terms of increasing your profile and your business brand. Like, you want to let people inside as much as you can.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is I talk a lot about my personal life online. So I'll talk about my commitment to fitness. I work out 5 times a week. I talk about my family. I have four small children. And often when people reach out to me, it's about that. They're saying, can you do a workshop on how to become like a high-performing parent and a high-performing entrepreneur? And I'm like, you do not want to take parenting advice from me. Like, but I can tell you what I'm trying and see what happens. So I think if you don't share those personal aspects of your life, you're missing out on opportunities, because people give you opportunities when they feel connected to you. And if all you talk about is your company, it's like, okay, there's a lot of people doing the same thing. But you brought something up that's very important, and I don't think we can even move forward in this conversation until we address it. Why do you think some people are afraid to be their authentic self online, and how can we break down that barrier?
It's hard. I mean, you know, you're putting out personal information about yourself to strangers, and you don't know what's going to be done with that information. You don't know, you know, if people are going to like it. You don't know how they're going to respond. And I think when we're starting to build our businesses, it can feel very high stakes for us, because this is our baby. Like, this is something we've created. We want it to be successful, and we're afraid to kind of risk showing ourselves. Maybe we also have personal insecurities in terms of like showing pictures of ourselves online. Like, maybe there's something we don't like about ourselves, so we're afraid to be on video. I talk to so many entrepreneurs who are afraid to be on video, and I just tell them, you know what, just get started. Like, get started with one post, and it's almost like a muscle. I think the more that you do it and you see the response from people and you see how they're engaging and connecting with you, it gives you that fuel to continue. So yes, we have a lot of hangups, but the only way you're going to kind of get past that is to just do it. Like, put something out there and then roll with that momentum.
Yeah, getting started is the hardest part. I remember my first video that I made, I somehow looked angry and scared at the same time, which is a weird combination, but that's how I got started. And what I tell some people who don't want to show up on camera or on video is you don't have to share yourself, photos or videos of yourself, to share personal content. It can be a picture of a book you're reading or something like that. Like, hey, I read this book today. It was great. That's your personality, you know? So there are other ways around it if you don't feel comfortable. But what I want to do is for those people who are ready to charge in one way or another, if it's their face on camera, if it's like a picture of a book, just bullet point what steps are involved with building a personal brand so we can leave with some actionable takeaways from today's episode.
Yeah, totally. So when you're thinking about building a personal brand, the first thing that you want to do is do some reflection. So you want to think about maybe the why behind why you built your business. But I think the biggest thing is, what is some sort of difference or mission that you have that is personal to you that you really, really care about, right? So just on a personal note, I come from a background of working at a very large company, and I worked a lot with different household goods and kind of promoting those in the market. And I found that personally, I really wanted to focus on people instead of products. So I wanted to help people find their special gifts and everything so that they could connect to other people and use that as their fuel and their special gifts and talents. So I think you just want to reflect on, what is your mission? What are some gifts and values and things that you think you have to offer that can help you to broadcast that mission to other people? I recommend coming up with maybe three qualities. I know we all have a lot of different gifts and talents, hopefully, but, you know, what are three qualities that uniquely equip you to do that personal mission? Maybe write that down and then think about different content that you can, you know, speak to or that you can produce that kind of ladders up to what those are. You know, I think sometimes we want to show maybe some insight into our everyday. So what are some behind the scenes things that you're doing that ladder up to that mission? Like, you brought in the examples of family. Maybe that's a huge part of your personal mission. I know for a lot of us, hopefully it is. So how are you kind of doing that every day, showing that insight into your life? And what are some exciting things maybe with your company that you're doing that you want to highlight that also speak to your mission? So first, think about the difference you want to make in the world. Number two, why are you uniquely equipped to do that? What are three qualities? Number three, what's some content that can go with what that is? And that should get you off to a running start.
Yeah, I like that approach, because essentially we're creating content pillars that we can talk about on a consistent basis that are aligned with the brand we want to establish. And on my end, I mentioned that already. So, you know, obviously it's business, that's my thing, but it's also mindset, it's family and fitness. So one thing I'll do, like just walking back from the gym, I'll whip out my camera real quick and I'll make a quick video like, hey, everyone, I just got done working out. I know it's so tough to find the time, but what I like to do is mentally bookmark how great I feel after a workout. And that reminds me, next time I'm not quite motivated to go ahead and, you know, make it happen. So you should do the same thing. So I mean, I make that up. I just made that up off the top of my head. But I think if we just get used to being just more authentic and making messy progress towards our goal, we won't feel like we have to be perfect when we show up online, like the perfect, you know, your background or video or whatever it is. So hopefully that just, like, I don't free some people to go ahead and start creating content. And hopefully they won't look scared and angry like I did with their first video.
Exactly. And then I'll just tell one more quick example. So when we were in the height of the pandemic, you know, my personal mission is to inspire people and, you know, to help them achieve their dreams, basically. And so that was a really tough time for all of us. I like to think I'm a joyful person. You know, that's part of my personal brand. And so I got my flute and I play the flute. And so I just did some songs and then put those on Instagram for people to listen to and hopefully to inspire them. So that's not something that I tell people every day, that I'm a flute player and that I'm a musician, but that kind of speaks to what my personal mission is. So those are the kind of things you want to think about, like definitely be authentic, like you said, kind of coming out of the gym, like filming that post-workout thing. But then think about other things, you know, that you can do to inspire people and speak to that. And so for me, playing the flute was something that helped to inspire people. That's not my business, what I do every day, but that's something that I personally offer to people that inspired them.
Yeah. In a moment, I want to talk about the additional benefits of having a personal brand outside of selling products and services. But I also want to share an example of how I shared an embarrassing moment that led to a great opportunity. So to go back, I have four children, and my daughter was performing at a a holiday show at her school, and I'm there with my other kids, and my son Tyson wanted me to pick him up, and instead of waiting patiently, he tried to essentially climb me, and while doing that, he pulled my pants down in a crowded theater. And I was like, obviously embarrassed, but I didn't get angry just because I just spent a lot of time just becoming more patient with my kids, more understanding, more mindful. And I shared that on social media. I was like, hey, here's the benefits of meditation. You can be more mindful, more patient, more understanding, so on and so forth. Even though it was an embarrassing story, I still put that on social media. And an editor from Fatherly, this blog that talks about fathers, and you probably can, you know, guess the rest of that, saw that and decided to feature me on their website. So from me having this embarrassing story that I chose to share online, I got a major media mention. So I'm just sharing that so people realize the impact you can have on your business and as well as your brand by sharing some of these things. But just from your perspective and your experience, what are some other benefits of having a personal brand outside of selling more products and services for your company?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely just creates more of a connection and a community. I think that when you have a community around you, I think especially as an entrepreneur, it makes such a huge difference because being an entrepreneur can be super lonely. So I think the more that we show of ourselves, the more people can connect to us, the more we kind of create that tribe. And I think that that can definitely help to just propel us forward, like way past selling our products and services, which of course we want to do, but also just in terms of feeling like you have a community around you to kind of support you and you can kind of share in each other's joys, successes, and challenges. It's really key.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say one challenge with maintaining a personal brand is creating content on a consistent basis. A lot of creators face burnout. And I think initially, if you're just getting started, you're not getting that much feedback from your content, right? You're just hoping to get a like or a comment, and it's easy to get discouraged. So what would you say to anyone listening who's like, okay, look, I'm going to try this, but I've done it before, and gosh, you know, like no one really gave a gee whiz. What would you say in regards to just encouraging them to keep posting? And also maybe like a cadence, how often should you post per week when you're first starting?
I think see it as a little bit of an experiment. Mm-hmm. So I think when you're just starting out or when you're starting to build a personal brand, you know, we should always be experimenting as entrepreneurs, but that's really the time to experiment. So what's the type of content? Like try some different things, try some different topics, like bring in more stories from your day. And see what's sort of resonating and connecting with people. And maybe one post gets one like, maybe one gets none, maybe another one gets 10. And then you can kind of see, all right, what's really resonating, and then maybe create a little bit more content around that in that direction. So I think that's one thing that can help. I think in terms of a cadence, I always say just post as much as you can, as regularly as you can. So we're all coming from, you know, different like challenges, different time commitments. It can be really tough. But if you say, all right, I have time to do like 2 posts a week, you know, on these channels, and I can commit to doing that consistently, then that's what you can commit to. Of course, doing it more often, you know, if you can post every day, I think that's great. That's good. But really, it's in terms of what your situation like allows for you to do that you can be consistent with. That to me is the most important.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I think also not letting yourself of sense of self-worth be associated with how many likes or comments your last post got, because you have more to contribute to the world than like a cool like Instagram reel or something like that. You'll get there, but don't feel like that's, you know, a lack of validation on your end. If someone's not engaging with the content, just, hey, algorithms are algorithms and you got to get in that routine of creating content. But
exactly. And then just know somebody is seeing it. You know, I have a lot of people, I tend to get, I guess, a decent amount of likes with my posts, even though that's certainly not the most important factor. Yeah. But when I go places and I see people who maybe I'm connected to on LinkedIn, who maybe I forgot I was connected to, they'll say, oh, I saw your post on this and that was really cool. And, you know, congratulations on that. Or like that inspired me, or like I identify with that. And I didn't even know that they were reading it. Yeah. So just know that your content is reaching people, even though maybe you can't see it in terms of likes and such. But again, experiment and see what's kind of resonating most.
Yeah, when that happens, when someone gives me accolades on my content, I'm like, well, you could have liked it. You know, could have just told me that online exactly. Instead of in person, but is what it is. But that said, I know a lot of people are going to want to learn more about you as well as the course that you teach within the Verizon Small Business Digital Ready community. So do you mind just sharing just the title of your course as well as how we can find more information about you online?
Totally. So the course is called Defining Your Brand, Connecting to Customers. I definitely recommend checking it out because I've just heard from people who've taken it that it really helps them to think about their brand differently and just really put it together because branding can be very confusing. So it just kind of puts it together in a more organized way. And then in terms of reaching me, my website is brandstylebloom.com. So check out my website. My Instagram is handle brandstylebloom. And if you want to reach out to me on LinkedIn, I'm there under Elizabeth Lewis and would love to connect with you.
Awesome. All right. Well, Elizabeth, it's been great chatting with you. I'm looking forward to seeing your content going forward. And thanks for encouraging us to create as well. So appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Terry. It was really great to be here. Appreciate it.
Every episode, we're going to end with a next step, so you can walk away from our time together with one concrete action item to help build your business faster and with less confusion. So here's your next step for this week. Take 5 minutes to sit down and work through Elizabeth's content creation exercise. Think about what difference you would make in the world, 3 qualities that make you uniquely equipped to make that change, and then think of one story you can share online that will highlight your unique experience. And that's it. You don't even have to post. Just put in the time to shape your strategy. And that's it for today. For show notes and information about our guest, visit terryrice.co/elevate. This podcast is presented by Verizon Small Business Digital Ready, a free community that offers courses, mentorship, networking, and grants created just for small businesses. To join the platform, visit digitalready.verizonwireless.com. That's digitalready.verizonwireless.com. And hey, if you found value in this episode, help us spread the word to other entrepreneurs by subscribing and leaving a review. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch up with you next time.